Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend.
Happy Easter. So, Easter. It is a celebration of the resurrection of Jesus. That's the big deal. That's the point. That's what the Easter day and Easter season is about remembering, and that's what the Lenten season is about preparing us for. The whole season of Lent is an anticipation of the coming of the resurrection of Jesus, where we remember that Jesus rose from the dead, and we ourselves, many people throughout the world, were baptized last night. We only had one baptism here at Our Lady of the Gulf. Last year we had six or seven baptisms, but thousands, tens of thousands of people were baptized last night. And throughout the history of the church, that's when people would be baptized, during the night, in the middle of the night, between Holy Saturday and Easter Sunday. This is when Jesus rose. Before the sun came up on Sunday morning, they went and they found the tomb empty. And so now we kind of come and find the tomb empty, and we remember Jesus' victory over sin and death, that the tomb was empty. In a few minutes from now, don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but in a few minutes from now, we're going to renew our baptism, something we do every year at Easter. And our baptism is essentially to be buried with Jesus in death, that we rise with him to a new life, an eternal life. And that's Easter. That's what Easter's about. And so I say to you, Happy Easter, okay? Happy Easter. We celebrate this beautiful day. So what are the first words of the Bible? We should know this answer. What are the first words of the Bible? In the beginning, right? In the beginning. So in the beginning, God created. And last night we read the whole first chapter of Genesis, and that's a long reading, trust me, okay? And so we went through the reality that God created all that is with his word. God spoke and creation came into existence. God is the uncreated, one necessary being. All other things are contingent. God spoke and creation leapt into being. And so, by his word, he created. So, what are the first words of the Gospel of John? Anybody know what the first words of the Gospel of John? I'll give you a hint. They're the same as the first words of the Bible, okay? So, the first words of the Gospel of John are, in the beginning, in the beginning, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Old Testament and the New Testament are one Word. They are one reality, and this is the communication of God to us. Jesus Christ himself is the Word. Okay, now I could get into some big philosophical discussion about what that means, that Jesus is the Word, but Jesus is, he is God, and God comes to us in the sacred scripture and in the person of Jesus. And the Word of God, Old Testament and New, forms one thing, written by human beings, but truly divine. And Jesus Christ is both human and divine. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Gospel of John goes on to say, and the Word was made flesh. That is, God himself takes on our humanity and dwells in the world. And the light comes into the darkness. That is God's word. That is Jesus coming to the earth. That is Jesus becoming incarnate. The light comes into the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Why was Jesus crucified? Why was he put in the tomb? Because darkness was trying to put out the light of Christ. We have this giant candle in front of me here. This giant candle is a symbol of Jesus, who is the light of the world. He is the Word made flesh. He is God's revelation of himself to us. The light is where life is. Death is the darkness. The grave is darkness. But Jesus goes into the grave. He goes into death to bring light and salvation into the darkness. You and I, my brothers and sisters, we are to be people of the light. People who live in the light and walk in the light. In the darkness, people want their actions hidden. We are supposed to be people who expose ourselves. See, the Word of God is living and effective. I'm quoting the Bible now, Hebrews chapter 4. The Word of God is living and effective, sharper than a two-edged sword, penetrating, dividing, exposing. And all will be judged by that Word that penetrates into the darkness. My brothers and sisters, you don't light a bushel basket. You don't light a lamp and put it under a bushel basket, do you? No, you light a lamp and you put it where it can be seen. And so our lives are to be a light to the world around us. And we are to live in and through Jesus Christ. We are a people of the light. This day we celebrate the light, our Lord going into the darkness and coming back to life. Victory over sin and death. They went to the tomb, and the tomb was what? Empty. Do you believe that? Do you believe it? It's easy to believe on Easter Sunday, in a sense. It's easy to believe when we're standing here surrounded. One of the most beautiful days I can remember in a long time. It's easy. We have the Easter lilies. We have the smell of the incense. We have the smell of the flowers. We have the candle. We're here celebrating Easter together. But you know, we live in a world with a lot of darkness. We live in a world where there is sin and where there is death. But we must be people of the light. We must be believers. Believe that Jesus defeated death and darkness and went into the dark and came out as the light of the world. Do you believe that? Yeah. That's our faith. That's what we are called to believe and to celebrate. That's what Easter's all about. Now, I remember a little Easter story I read not long ago. A man named Father Sika wrote this book, and in it, Father Sika tells a story about a young boy named Anthony. Anthony was a first grader. He was a first grader in Miss Hunt's class, and Anthony had a brain tumor. He was still in the class with the other students, but things were starting to get a little difficult for him. The week before Easter, Miss Hunt gave all of her children one of those little plastic Easter eggs, you know? One of those plastic Easter eggs, and they had an assignment. They were supposed to go home and put something in that plastic Easter egg that reminded them of Easter, okay? And so they all had that assignment. So Easter comes and goes, and they come back, and they bring their plastic Easter eggs, and they give them to Miss Hunt, and they put them on her desk, right? And so there she is, and she's going to go through the Easter eggs. And she opens the first one, and there in it is a flower, a beautiful flower bloom. And she shows it to the class and says, yes, a flower reminds us of Easter. She opens the next one, and it is a piece of candy. Yeah, that makes sense for a first grader. That's what they're thinking. And she gets to the next one and she opens it a little and she can tell it's empty. So she just kind of closes it and slides it to the side, and she thinks that must be Anthony. He must have forgot the assignment. Well, Anthony sees that it was his egg and she put it to the side. He raises his hand and he says, "Miss Hunt, that was my egg." And she said, "Yes, Anthony, you forgot to put something in it." And he said, "No, Miss Hunt, it's empty. It's the tomb. It's the tomb." Anthony understood that the greatest symbol of Easter is what? The empty tomb. Do you believe in that empty tomb? Do you believe in the victory of Jesus over sin and death? This is so important. It is so important for us to believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and that there is an eternal life for us. Father Sika continues the story about Anthony. Sometime later, he died. He succumbed to his tumor, and they had the funeral. And the whole class went to that funeral. And what did they bring? They brought Easter eggs. And what was in them? They were all empty. They were all the empty tomb. We have to be people, even in the midst of darkness, who believe in the empty tomb. When those disciples, it's not evident in the story that we read tonight because we have different gospels that tell of the resurrection with different emphasis. It's not evident in the story tonight, but when they went to that tomb, their first thought was not, "Jesus rose from the dead." That was not what they were thinking. The first thought they had was, "Somebody stole the body." Somebody stole the body, and they were disappointed. They were thinking, first they kill him, now they defile his body. Only upon the conversation with the angels and experiencing Jesus in the resurrection does their faith begin to find a way deep into their heart. Now, I am not here this evening to argue anybody into faith. I can't do that. What I can to do is point to the empty tomb and ask you to explore this journey. Jesus who died, Jesus who was buried, Jesus who rose on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, that his life was prophesied, that his life was predicted. It was predicted in such a way that we can read and understand it now, but it was very difficult. Because it was so radical. He would tell them, "I'm going to be rejected, I'm going to be killed, and I'm going to rise from the dead." And they would say, "I wonder what that means." It was just too much for them. Throughout the season of Lent, we would gather in this church on Friday afternoons and do the Stations of the Cross. And we would meditate on these elements of our Lord's passion. And as we went around the church, when we got to one of them, we read this as part of the Station of the Cross. "Yet it was our infirmities that he bore." This is a quote from the prophet Isaiah, by the way. "Yes, it is our infirmities that he bore, our sufferings that he endured, while we thought of him as one stricken by God and afflicted. He was pierced for our offenses, crushed for our sins. Upon him was the chastisement that makes us whole. By his stripes we were healed. We had all gone astray like sheep, each following his own way, but the Lord laid upon him the guilt of us all. Though he was harshly treated, he submitted and opened not his mouth. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, or a sheep before the shearers, he was silent, and opened not his mouth. Oppressed and condemned, he was taken away. A grave was assigned him among the wicked, a burial place among evildoers. His life, an offering for sin. And so into the grave, into the darkness, into sin, into death, he went for us. But he rose, right? Anthony knew, right? The tomb was what? Empty. Do you believe that? That's what we celebrate today. That's our faith. That is our Easter faith, that he rose from the dead. And if you believe he rose from the dead, it will change your life. It's easy to talk about believing it, but if you believe, it will change your life, you see, because it's eternal life. Not 100 years, not 1,000 years, not 1 billion years, not 1 trillion years, not 1 trillion billion years, but eternity. Eternal life. And we believe he rose from the dead. He went into the darkness and came out the light of the world. And we are baptized into his death that we may rise again to new life. Throughout the season of Lent, we go into the desert. We go into the darkness. We strip away things in this world. And we renew our baptism and we celebrate Jesus' victory over death. The beginning of Lent seems like it was a long time ago, you know. What day did the Lent start? You remember? Ash Wednesday, Father Mike. Okay, yeah, that's right. It was February 14th. Valentine's Day, remember? Yeah. And so we had kind of a combination of days. What about today? What is today? Yeah, well, it's Easter, but it's also April Fool's Day. Okay. All right. So, April Fool, you know, and St. Paul says we are to be fools for Christ. Did you know that? To be fools for Christ. And the world say, why do they do that? Why do they believe that? We have faith in the empty tomb. But you know who the fool is, the real fool, on this day? The real fool is Satan. He thought he won. He thought he turned the world against Jesus. He thought he was dead and done and buried, put in the ground and sealed in the tomb. He washed his hands, said, that's over. But what happened? Anthony knew, right? The tomb was empty. The tomb was empty. So today we remember. Today we celebrate the victory of our Lord. Today we pray that we be lights in the darkness, no matter the circumstances, no matter the challenges. We believe in the empty tomb.